Can't sell it anywhere else, man. It's right here in West Virginia.
This is the Community Podcast with Zach Beard and Aaron Marco, two Morgantown real estate agents highlighting the good people of our city and state. We're taking you behind the sign, connecting interesting people, places, and faces, why they do what they do, and how they came to be doing it. We're building a better community. Just came back from Kansas.
Just got back in from Kansas. Long, grueling trip. I had forgotten what it was like really to drive 15 and 16 hours at a single clip, man.
Yeah. I see. It's one of those things you just start to question every life decision while you're in that car by yourself.
When you do it by yourself, man, there's nothing but time to reflect. And yeah.
Yeah.
Grueling is the word for it, man. Grueling. Especially going there, you can be all excited about the trip, man. I'm on it. It's going to be a blast. It's awesome. Coming back, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you regret everything.
Do you think I will survive?
What's your travel diet like? You a snack guy?
I was good on the way out, man. I had a cooler packed with all my stuff, man. I had made some like pretty healthy snacks, made some nice chicken salads and different things. I had olives and cheese and stuff set up in the cooler for the trip out. And on the way home,
it's a little picnic right there.
Oh, it was terrific.
You got a blanket with you.
Like I said, it was awesome, man, to trip out, you know. Plenty of time to reflect and just, you know, self-reflection time. It was good, you know. On the way home, I was eating Kansas beef sticks, cheese, pork rinds, and immense amounts of coffee. And, you know, there comes a point when I think there are too many five-hour energies that you can drink at one time.
It's probably likely
not good for you.
When you start feeling your heart and, like, your toes, you know you've had just one too many.
It was rough, I got to tell you.
Yeah. So the purpose of your trip was to help kind of grow your Encompass consulting side of things, right? Grow your own skills.
Well, yeah.
Take away some professional tips that you can maybe adapt.
Yeah, the Active Self-Protection National Conference was last weekend out in Kansas City, you know. So some of the greatest firearms instructors from across the country kind of coalesce here. And it's all in support. And you know, we talk quite frequently about do-gooders on this show and, you know, giving back. So all these instructors show up on their own dime. They show up there for $0. And as a participant, you pay a fee to come in and take this training, but 100% of the proceeds go to the boys' ranch there. So they have a home there for, you know, wayward youths, so to speak, that are at risk. And they teach these kids, you know, and they raise them up, and they do a fantastic job. It's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. They have a shooting range on the facility there. And so these, you know, really top-end tier one instructors from across the nation show up there, and you get to participate in many different types of training, which I participated in as much as I could certainly squeeze into 3 days of training.
Sure.
It was fantastic. But overall, absolutely terrific.
Incredible. Very good. Before we get going too far, let's give today's sponsor a quick shout-out.
Yeah, so today's episode is brought to you today by Anthony Sparks of Sparks Productions. Sparks Productions produces video and commercial material for various businesses and organizations. And if you want to tell your story in the most powerful way possible, you want to look for Sparks Productions.
Yeah, they've won some awards for some of their videos. They've also done the state fair video.
They do terrific work, man. All you have to do is check them out online, and you can see a lot of the great stuff they've produced for so many different people and organizations.
Yeah. So what's going on in real estate world?
Well, it seems to be that things have kind of, the frenetic pace has kind of slowed just slightly, I think. At least on my end, it has a little bit. Still got a lot of deals cooking right now, but certainly not as a frenetic pace as it was, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
I think it's due to lack of inventory.
Lack of inventory, yeah, and I think a lot of people might be kind of exiting the field, so to speak, you know, or walking off the court.
At
this point in time, because, you know, holidays coming up, and maybe people just got some other priorities coming up. But
yeah, I mean, compared to last year that we were still going pretty strong all the way through Christmas.
Yeah, you got a much better line of sight than I do on that kind of stuff, you know, so.
I think it's lack of inventory.
Lack of inventory.
Yep.
Guys, sell your houses.
That's right. Get them on.
It's the time to do it.
We've got three realtors here today.
Three realtors at the table.
Three realtors at the table. We got our guest today, John Flowers.
Took you guys long enough to
to get there.
Introduce me. I mean, geez. Man, I'm here though, man. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So.
It is terrific to have you on, John. I've only got to meet you kind of in passing at the office. You are now a new realtor. Stepped into that arena. And how are you liking it so far?
It's cool so far, you know. Kind of like the rookie on the scene. You guys are like the vets. So
I am certainly not the vet. He's the vet. You know, I'm you know, one season in, so to speak, if we want to maintain the sports analogies here to some degree. But yeah, not too much further ahead of you. It's tough getting started, man. I mean, it's overcoming inertia is a thing, man. I mean, an object at rest wants to stay at rest, and you really got to build momentum in this game. And I'm sure, you know, with your personality and your connections, you're going to do great things with real estate.
They're tremendously. That's an interesting analogy right there, what you guys are talking about. You know, you're a seasoned player. You're very well known. Yeah. And from what I've heard from
You don't know me, but it's fine. You could tell, too, like, I walk in the office, like, I mean, my first day there, Zach was just like, I'm John Flowers. He's like, I don't care who this guy is. Like, everybody else is all excited. And I don't care.
Well, it's the same thing at the fundraiser for the cornhole tournament.
Yeah.
You were number one fan right there for many, many people.
Yeah.
Zach was like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on.
So,
which is cool. I like that stuff, though. Yeah. Like, being treated regular for once, you know.
Yeah, right on.
That's cool.
So how's that going to translate in the real estate world? You know, you coming in from being the number one guy to the newbie.
You know, it's like basketball translates into life situations. So I've been there before, you know what I mean? Like when I was a freshman here at WVU, it's kind of like the same thing. I was coming in and Deshaun Butler is the main guy. Joe Alexander is the main guy. They has these big time names that you probably don't even know about.
Hey, I know the names. I couldn't identify them.
But you know, you just got to play your role and come in and learn as much as you can. You know, you got to be humble. So I came from Maryland, Waldorf, Maryland, where I was pretty much big time there in the high school basketball scene. So it's kind of the same thing, you know. So I'm not an arrogant guy. So I don't have any problem taking a back seat and learning and just.
I think that shows you've been in the office almost daily, and you've been putting in the time to try and learn it.
Yeah, it's been a grind, you know. So I still play basketball overseas. I think this will be my last year, unless I love it. I'm going to Uruguay. So unless
and you're getting ready to roll out right now, right?
Yeah, I leave Friday, so yeah. So I was just trying to come in and do as much as I can on the real estate side and learn as much as I can, and you guys helped out a lot. I mean – Zach helped out a lot. He gave me one of his open houses, which I learned that it's kind of like
you know, real estate, like a lot of things, it's a long periods of boredom punctuated by intense moments of craziness,
right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden the deadline's there, someone hasn't shown up, the lender's late on whatever, you know, the overnight documents didn't come in.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's long periods of just absolute dullness.
It's a lot of paperwork, too. It's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of paperwork.
A lot of people think it's not a lot of work, but it definitely is. And my experience so far has been cool, you know. Just dealt with a few clients, you know, dealing with people.
Well, you're going to do fantastic, I'm sure of that. You come from a line of basketball players. Your mom is currently in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Where did she play at?
She went to Louisiana Tech. So that's where... It comes from me playing basketball. It comes all from my mom.
Comes from your mom.
She was good. So.
Yeah, that's terrific. Tell us a little bit about her career.
I mean, I think she played in like 82, 80.
WNBA?
Nah, the WNBA wasn't even around then. She had an opportunity to go overseas, which women's basketball, they make more money overseas than they do in America.
Huh. But
she had my brother, my older brother, and started a family, so that canceled everything out. But she was really good, man. She was great. Three-time All-American. She was really good.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so you come by it honestly, evidently.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't fill in those shoes, but, you know, I did the best I could.
Well, the story's still be written, you know.
Yeah, it's over now. It's a wrap. The book can be written on my career now. So we'll see what happens.
See what happens, yeah. So tell me a little about, you know, we're all about community on this podcast, obviously, ergo the name, but sports and how they kind of coordinate with community or complement it. What's that like for you?
I mean, West Virginia, man, I can just speak about West Virginia and the sports here. So there's no pro teams here. There's no professional teams. The closest team is like Pittsburgh, you you know. So the state rallies around WVU, which is amazing, you know what I mean? So we take pride in representing the state. You know, it's a blue-collar state. It's a blue-collar, we try to mirror that with the blue-collar way of playing on the court.
Work ethic, like, work attitude. Ethic. Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, when Coach Huggins first got here, that's all he was about. He's from West Virginia, so he knows that's how we have to play, you know. And if you don't play like that, then the fans will let you know. The people will let you know quick. Like, this is not what West Virginia is about. So
yeah. You played under John Beilein initially?
No, I was recruited by John Beilein, but he left. I guess he didn't want to coach me, so he left.
Yeah, you think you were the reason?
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, he left, and Hug's first year was my first year.
Okay.
Got to it. So. Yeah, it was cool, man.
Yeah, but I think sports are definitely a big part of what bring communities together.
Right.
The camaraderie, everything, and everything grows from it. Look at Morgantown. You know, game day, we're packed full, which means restaurants are packed full, hotels are packed full. And real estate flourishes from it, because how many calls do you get? Hey, I'd like, you know, we're winning. I want a home right next to the stadium. I can walk there.
Right.
It all impacts things.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. I've been here. I graduated in 2011. I'm still here, you know. Like, I made this place my home. I'm an entrepreneur by spirit. You know, I got that from my father. But we started a West Virginia alumni basketball team, which plays in Charleston. And the economic impact that we had this year playing in the tournament, we played a $1 million tournament and played against other alumni schools and stuff like that. And it had like a $9.5 million economic impact in just one weekend, just playing down there, you know what I mean? So sports really do affect the community and bring up the economy and stuff like that. So I couldn't imagine Morgantown without WVU. That would be
– Oh, yeah. The impact of WVU sports is exponential. I mean, I guess you could probably put a number on it. I'm sure somebody knows that stat somewhere. But, you know, I can't think of very many other things that even come close to the scale of the economic impact that WVU sports makes to Morgantown itself. I mean, it's in a league of its own.
Milan probably had a big impact, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. As far as jobs. Yeah, I don't know how anything else would compare to – you know, the amazing amount of economic input WVU sports has in right. Morgantown.
Right.
Yeah. Without sports in your life, what do you think, how do you think you would have shaped differently? I mean, the whole idea of sports, you know, it builds strong character, yeah. Perseverance, amazing work ethic. And, you know, one thing that always bothers me are participation trophies. And I did gymnastics for 7 years, and you know, I was pretty decent at it. And one of those things that was getting a trophy for something you did well. It might have been an actual trophy, might have been your picture on the wall. But when you lost, when you're competing against people.
I don't know how to score gymnastics. How do you – I don't even know.
I don't know either anymore. But anyway, my point is that when I didn't get a trophy, yeah, I was upset.
Yeah.
But he also worked way harder to finally get there. So I guess I'm just curious, like, you know, in sports shaping you, how did that, you know, push you to keep going further?
First of all, I think it's real interesting that you did gymnastics. That's, what event did you do? Did you do like that?
I did. So, I was about the only one who could do an iron cross in my class.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, right.
So,
what's the name of that movie? Old School? Is it Old School?
Cigarette, yeah. Exactly right. Yep. So I did, I was not good at floor. I was not good at many of those types of things, but, uneven bars, parallel bars, rings, was a pommel horse.
And I hear he does an awesome kip still today.
I mean, gymnastics, people that do gymnastics are strong, like.
Oh yeah. They're freakishly strong. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Kudos to you, man.
Well, thanks. Crazy.
What was the question? My bad.
So the question was just, how did sports, like, how did it build your character? And where do you think you might be different if you hadn't been in it?
I mean, I can't imagine not playing sports. But like you said, man, it just gives you a mindset that everything has to be is earned. Nothing is given to you. You have to work hard. The most thing I like about it is, like, the progress. Like, you're going to be as good as the work you put in. You know, you don't put any work in, you're not going to see the results. So I like that if you work hard, you'll see the results. You know what I mean? Like my freshman year here, I couldn't shoot. Like my jump shot was messed up. And then by the time I graduated, a coach took me to the side and we just worked on it and just fixed it. And right now my jump shot is a lot better. So I like that about the aspect of sports. Nothing's going to be given to you. It's some guys out there though that just have God-given talent, though, you know, and that pisses me off a little bit. But
yeah, but a lot of those guys still, like yourself, realize the value of hard work. And unfortunately, right. There's plenty of people that don't. And you say, you know, it's just kind of a given, but it's not for a lot of people. Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't see it. And I think it's really a testament to your dedication to the sport or whatever else you're doing. Yeah. By actually being willing to go out there and be coached. A lot of people aren't coachable. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen that already. I mean, I watched a lot of basketball when I was younger, and I still remember Iverson, man. You know, practice.
Yeah.
You know, it was not about going to practice. And, you know, and that's the thing about a lot of players. Some players, you know, like one of the reasons I never really liked Iverson that much because he didn't make anybody else better, I thought. You know, when I watch the Jordan teams, you know, and I know I'm a little bit older than you, so, you know, but Michael made everybody else on the team better by playing with him. It wasn't just about him. Scottie Pippen didn't do anything, really, after Jordan left. You know, was Dennis Rodman really any good outside of being on the Bulls team?
Yeah. I mean, did the Sixers do anything after AR left?
Well, there were a lot of problems in Philadelphia at that time anyway. But if you look at some of the great teams and some of the great players, I think their real best attribute was they elevated the play of other people on the court.
I think I love Allen Iverson. That's one of my.
I didn't mean to.
That's cool.
But cause offense.
This is different, man.
Can you say Iverson wasn't all about Iverson? I mean, do you think he was really a great team player?
His teammates loved him.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say. I mean, none of his teammates ever said he was selfish, you know. So I think he had a good team as far as everyone knew their role around him. They understood the talent that he brought to the team, you know. So, I mean, after he left the 76ers, you could say that, like, yeah, it was all about Allen Iverson. But when he was there, I mean, he definitely made the team better for sure.
I mean, well, he made the team better. And I'm out of my league just a little bit here because I'm not a basketball expert. But, I mean, certainly he brought an amazing amount of talent to the team in and of himself.
Right.
And his ability to score points.
Right.
But I didn't feel that he had that ability. And I would even say maybe the same about LeBron James, you know, in my little understanding. Because I'd quit watching basketball some years ago. But I just don't see – Jordan was one of those guys that everybody that played was a superstar when they played with him and weren't so much when he wasn't around. Yeah. And I think that's a special talent that people bring to anything that they do. Yeah. They elevate people around them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I think AI did that as well. But
right on.
We can go out there about this. But yeah, I mean, that's a very special talent, you know, and kind of like just going back to the point, like just having a God-given talent. Like, wouldn't it piss you off if I came into Compass and, like, the first day I just had calls just coming in, like, you know what I mean? Like, not piss you off, like, oh, you're not mad at him, but to the aspect of, damn, I've been here for however long, and this guy.
Yeah, that's one way you could take it. Personally, I would say, what is he doing that I'm not doing? And I would start to watch your game, and I'd figure it out. Now, there might be some things that you just have that there's no way I could emulate, right? You know, whatever that is, but part of my, and much like yourself probably, you know, looking to people that were always better than you and trying to figure out what it is that they were doing that you weren't currently doing. I know I've done that ever since I was a very young man. I walk onto a job site, what is that guy doing that's making him more money than me? Yeah. Because he's not doing anything that I can't technically do.
Right. Well, a lot of people just want to work with me just because I play basketball here for.
Yeah, so, I mean, we take advantage of whatever our advantages are, and I think you're smart to do that.
And but that's also not a lack of work. I mean, look at Aaron when he came in. You know, you brought in clients a little easier than some people have as well just because of your time in the restaurant. People knew you in Morgantown, same thing with you, John. You're a known name, and that does give you an advantage.
Yeah,
but it's not an unfair one. It's a work you worked for. Your name?
You didn't work for it in the real estate realm. You know what I mean? Like, basketball is nothing.
But why can't it translate?
Just I'm going to assume here that you're a better real estate agent than I am. You know what I mean? Just because you've been doing it for a while.
Sure.
So yeah,
he's a far better agent. I mean, exponentially better agent than I am.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all bring our talents. We're all working down the line, you know, trying to do the best that we can for our clients and stuff. And we're all in a, like you had said earlier, you know, you're in this constant state of learning. You know, you're willing to come in and learn. Are you as good as you're going to be? No. Are you better than you once were? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely. And that's the treadmill we're all on.
Yeah, I mean, look at Mark Wahlberg. He's an actor. Yeah. He can make a burger, apparently, and a pretty good one. Wahlburgers.
That's what I hear.
You know, he's... True. Everything can translate.
That's right.
You put in the time.
Life is crazy, man. It's a journey, man. You just got to enjoy it, man. And I guess take every opportunity that you can get, right?
And that's exactly right. So you're headed to Uruguay. Have you done any kind of preliminary looks at Uruguay? You know where you're going to be? You know what the food's like? Do you know how to speak the language? I mean.
I'm going to be in the city of Montevideo, something. Like, I don't even know how to pronounce it yet.
Yeah, right. It sounds right to me.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you wrong.
Just looking at the pictures online and from talking to people that played there before, it looks nice. It's on the beach. It's a great place to have my last year of basketball. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, right on. Are you married, John?
Yeah, I'm married 3 years. Shout out to Jess. Have a 18-month-old. Yeah.
That's a life changer right there.
Yeah, it is.
That's a life changer.
That went to the process of me deciding that this will probably be my last year.
Right. Are you taking the family with you?
Yeah, they're going.
They're going with you down there. That makes it a little bit, you know.
Easier, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it certainly makes it easier on you. I don't know that it's easier on the entire family. That's, you know, trying to maintain two different locations and travel and this and that. And I can see where, you know, you're trying to plug this into your thought process for the future, you know.
Exactly. Just trying to find some stability, you know what I mean, with my daughter more than anything.
But, what's your daughter's name, John?
Violet. Shout out to Violet. So, that's the main thing. But, yeah. My wife went to France with me last year. I don't know how I would have survived without them there last year just because of the pandemic and everything shut down. And she used to cook.
Did you actually get a play over in France last year?
Yeah, we played.
Yep. Yeah. Nobody in the crowd though, right?
Nobody in the stands. It was
wow.
It was wild.
Man. How's that impact your playing?
It's got to impact it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to kind of like get up for the games, get that energy, but yeah, it was rough, though. It was just a rough season.
Well, it was a rough season in everybody's life, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, everybody was struggling with what to do and how to do it. And,
yeah, how did that affect the real estate side?
It's crazy busy.
Crazy busy, yeah.
Some of the best time in real estate ever. Yeah, right?
How could you show houses and stuff, though?
They were doing it.
Masked, followed all the protocols, gloves on some homes.
Now, I thought that the market would do the opposite.
I did too, that. Initially, yeah.
So what made people want to buy houses in a time that there was no jobs?
Cheap money.
Because the
interest rates went down. Interest rates, you know. I mean, the money's almost free to rent still to this day. It's a large driver. It has to be a large driver. Now, clearly, this is just, I don't think it's just my opinion, but.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
You know, I mean, when the money's free to rent, you know, go rent the money.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it 2.5 now, 2.?
It's back down. Yeah, down there again, yeah. It's pretty low.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you're going to be stuck in your house.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you might have been able to get away with a smaller home.
And I think a lot of people realize, man, I don't really like the house that I'm in, you know. I don't really like this place. There's a lot of problems. I'd rather have a different house, you know.
I did did a lot of people lose their houses because of loss of jobs? Or?
I personally didn't see any. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I didn't see any of that personally either. Yeah. Through any of that, you know, a lot of people felt that the Milan thing was going to impact the market significantly, and it has not. At least, I'm not aware of any impact from additional inventory. I'm sure there are, you know, those a few anecdotal stories here and there, but it seems to me a lot of I can only judge the world at my arm's length. That's all what I really know. The people around me have seemed to find ways to transition to other things, whether it was some state. Funded educational opportunities. I know a guy that's gone to a couple of classes how to be a crane operator, got a CDL, and some guys that have been able to transition and to other things. So they haven't had that significant impact. While it's still an impact, it hasn't been catastrophic where they've had to surrender their home or move on in more impactful ways. So.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, So you said there's a lack of inventory in the
Without a doubt.
Lack of houses?
Yeah, lack of houses.
People looking for
them. So now and the investment would be, because I'm an entrepreneur, so the investment would be just buy land and start a development or something like that.
If you can do that, yeah. Yeah, that's part of it too.
Yeah, or rentals, I think, you know, and looking into the market, and, you know, if we're going to read the tea leaves of the market at all, and maybe, Zach, you can speak to a little bit of this, as inventory stays down and, you know, some of the stuff I'm seeing is maybe that getting into the rental market is a smart move.
That's a maybe so.
No, you don't agree?
In WVU, I think, I mean, I've rent some properties already, but in WVU, I mean, since WVU got into the rental game, they were renting out their student houses, they're building all these buildings and stuff. I think it's hard to.
Well, they definitely impacted, you know, local landlords and so forth in that way, but.
Yeah, I think
the interest rates are not going to stay low forever. And I think the long game is that the interest rates are going to rise. The threshold for getting loans, the necessary credentials that you have to get these loans is going to increase. And so it's going to drive people more towards the rental market because they're just not going to be able to. I mean, currently everybody's getting priced out of the market anyway. You know, you may want that $400,000 house. That does not mean you qualify to make a payment on a
$400,000 house. Well, look, the flip side of that all is that, you know, we're not helping, as realtors, helping people to be able to continue to prosper in life. If we're telling you to go, well, let's go put you in rental.
Yeah.
Number one, you're paying somebody else's mortgage, right, which is a good thing for one person, but not for the other side.
Yeah, I'm big and on we're buying not, instead of running. I'm big on that.
Oh, I totally, I would.
So maybe I misread what you were saying, but if you're.
I'm talking about as an entrepreneurial side, like if I was going to put my money in, what, maybe so rather than putting in a development, which costs a lot of money.
I follow you. So I thought you meant
development up front. No, I would never recommend to my clients to rent. You know, I mean,
that's why I took
it. Unless it was my property.
Let's talk about the development side, though. So say I want to develop, I'll just buy the land and then talk to a builder as far as, like, what they want to.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that.
There is a lot. First of all, you need to get a good engineer and find out what kind of density you can get onto that property and right. Are there utilities available? And there's a lot of things going to it. And I speak a little bit to this because my dad and my family put in the Goshen Grove development out there. So I spent a lot of time actually in the ditches, laying the lines and helping put that stuff in. So I got to see it from a below ground level up when we put the utilities in, built the roads, and, you know, got to look at the, you know, density and start to forecast the profitability of a project like that.
Right,
you
right.
know, yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. A solid engineer is definitely someone you want on your side.
Without a doubt. And you got to get into, you know, rules for HOAs, lot size, et cetera. Yeah. So it's a good process.
It's a lot.
But it's a tough process.
It's a lot.
I'm used to people saying that, man. Like, it's tough, man. Like, don't get into the restaurant. If you ask anybody about any business, they say, "Hey, it's tough. It's not easy." I know that.
Yeah, that's all right. That's I get it. And that's not helpful advice. Yeah, it's tough. I get it. Yeah.
Nah, it is helpful advice. I mean, I want to know the ins and outs, what to do, what not to do. You know what I mean?
Yep. So,
yeah. Hey, so you guys learned a fun fact about me today: gymnastics.
Is that your fun fact, really? So is that what you brought to the table today?
How old were you when you did that?
I did it from 7 to 14, maybe 15. Yeah.
Is that really what you brought to the table?
No, I was going to introduce the topic as in that could be a fun fact.
That is a fun fact we learned about Zach today.
Per Aaron's request, we're going to introduce a little segment called Fun Facts now.
And is it time for fun facts?
So it's going to be time for fun facts, so you better have one. I got to come up with one, so you're first.
Okay, my fun fact, chefs wear a hat. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, as you well know, and chefs have a very funny hat that they wear, one which I never wore personally because I think it looks ridiculous. But it has 100 folds in that hat. There's 100 folds in that hat, and each fold in that hat represents additional ways to cook an egg. There's 100 ways to cook an egg, and a chef is expected to know all of them. So there's 100 folds in a chef's hat that represent that many ways of cooking an egg.
That's a very interesting fact as well. What are those 100 ways? I can name.
And that's a great question. If you want to write in, you know, in the comment section or whatever, tell us your favorite way to cook an egg.
That is a very interesting fact.
I can't even name me anything.
That might be the funnest fact. Yeah. I might have won right
there. You might have won.
I don't even want to say my fact anymore.
That's a fun fact.
I changed my fact up. Sheesh.
We might need to pause this so I can think of a new one.
My fun fact, I played in 7 different countries and I played professional basketball for 11 years.
That's a pretty fun fact. 7 different countries.
Yeah.
How many languages do you speak?
None fluently, but
zero languages fluently.
Yeah. No, enough to get English? Around and Spanish, French. Those are my strong suits. So I played in France for 5 years. I played in Japan, Venezuela, Argentina, Mexico, Germany, and now Uruguay.
Uruguay. Yep. Well, that's a pretty fun fact. Which was your favorite country to be in? Why?
I would say Germany, just because they speak English there. It's easier to get around. Very professional league. It was fun there. It was a great, nice place, beautiful place.
How was the food?
I was just going to ask Tim Kling. Yeah. What was the food?
The food in Germany? Germany didn't do it for me. The best food is in Mexico.
Yeah, so, I'm with you there. Out of those countries, I would think France would have to be pretty good food, although.
No, it wasn't.
I do like. I like Latin flavors, man. No doubt about it.
I mean, they have the carne asada, like the grilled meat. But it was. I like South American food for sure.
All right, here's my fun fact. It's not as fun as your guys.
Here it is.
All right, so I was traveling to Alabama. I think back in 2008, going to Mississippi, and going through there was a billboard for McDonald's. It was 5 for $5 Big Macs. I didn't stop and get it, and I always regretted it. I still regret it today.
What were you going to do for 5 Big Macs?
It was just that was on sale, 5 for $5 Big Macs.
Now, what was you going to do?
I would have eaten all of them.
He was going to make friends is what he was going to do. He was going to go downtown and make friends.
There's no way.
Free Big Macs. 5 Big Macs.
At the time, I probably could have eaten all of them.
He was a gymnast.
Yeah. I wasn't.
Oh, sorry.
I was probably 19.
Where'd you go to school at?
Here.
For
yeah.
That's wild.
5 for $5. That's Zach's fun fact that he regrets still to this day.
Not eating 5 Big Macs.
Not buying 5
that's
Big Macs.
That's an amazing deal, though. 5 Big Macs for $5.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that is that wraps up fun facts for today.
Sponsored by who? Sponsored by
John Flowers, the newest real estate agent in Morgantown.
Sponsored by J-Flow Entertainment. And I got to plug my podcast, the Final Forecast. Me, Kevin Jones, Deshaun Butler. Shout out to producer Dave and our lovely co-host Ash. If anyone wants to check it out, Final Forecast. We talk about everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
thank you. Do you put out a show every week? Or?
Yeah, we try to do it every week, yep.
Well, that's another fact I didn't know about either.
Yeah, another fun fact. I have a podcast.
And you had two.
Yeah. What are you recording on?
What do you mean?
Like, what kind of setup do you have?
Nothing like this. That's why I said this is a real podcast. We go on Zencaster.
Okay.
Because we record from all over. Like,
yeah.
Deshaun was in America. KJ was in Japan last year. I was in France last year. So it was kind of hard getting everybody together. But,
And where can you find those podcasts at?
Anywhere you could
get podcasts.
Get podcasts.
I'm going to check one out today.
Final Four.
I am as well.
Check it out. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, you want to wrap this up? Or you want to touch on a couple more things?
I think that does it for me.
Okay.
It's a good day. It's good getting to talk to you for a little while, John, and get to learn a little bit about you.
And I appreciate all your help with just me being a rookie and y'all being the vets and helping me with this real estate thing, man.
That's what it's all about.
We've all been there.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, you're going to do great.
Very good.
And I got a question.
Yeah.
Do y'all mind me like eavesdropping when I'm in the office and just hearing the conversations?
That's the best thing about being in the office, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, learn through osmosis, man.
That's why I come. Yeah,
you get to listen to everybody else's struggles and you're like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I go in.
Yeah. The heartache, the tears, the joy. All of it.
But that's it. That's the last episode or the latest episode of the Community Podcast. We're going to wrap it up. John, thanks for stopping in and hanging out with us today. And we'll check out your podcast for sure. Good luck on the upcoming season. And we'll see you when you get back in 6 months.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Mr. Anthony Sparks, Sparks Productions. And look forward to his episode coming out soon.
Yeah, next guest coming up.
We'll be right back.